You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audio Shed Podcast Studio. Welcome to episode 52 of Brumpod. I'm here, as ever, with Jason and Ewan.
Hello. Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about LinkedIn, as they have announced they've brought out a native video conferencing feature. Well, I say video conferencing, there isn't much of a conference going on because as things stand, it's only for one-to-one meetings. So that isn't, in my mind, a conference, but that's by the by, that's just semantics. So yes, a little while ago, LinkedIn, which we talked about between ourselves, LinkedIn suddenly announced that they... You can now arrange video conferences natively through the app, links being sent through the messages section. But the meetings themselves took place in third-party platforms like Zoom. We saw that announcement and we got excited and we thought, right, okay, so it's still third-party. And now, as of very recently, they have now announced that they can host native video conferencing, all built in. Which is rather good, but a bit late.
See, it's a start. You're right. It's a start. It's 2 years late. This would have been brilliant 2 years ago. And a lot of the kind of ribbing that LinkedIn got was because we were asking the question, where's their video chat facility? Facebook Messenger already had it. And, you know, early pandemic, people were having Facebook parties and meetings. Zoom filled a gap that wasn't there. Skype turned into Teams and it became very useful for people where they had protocols and security requirements that Zoom couldn't cover. And yeah, I think LinkedIn's brought it in now. And the question is, why? Why now? Why not then? Why at all?
This is the thing. We've mentioned this on Brumpod before in probably numerous times, but certainly in one of our earliest episodes, I think. And it does, yes, it does strike the question, why? Why has it taken so long? Because let's have a little stat party. LinkedIn now has almost 740 million members with over 55 million registered companies. So if we're talking captive audiences, they don't come much bigger than that. Of those LinkedIn users who are frequently engaging with the platform, 40% access on a daily basis, which clocks up over a billion interactions every month. So, again, we lead on. Microsoft bought LinkedIn in 2016, who had already bought Skype in 2011. So they have the technology, and tech companies do this all the time. They buy up other companies and utilize the technology into various other ways. Why have they not integrated Teams or Skype within LinkedIn natively long before now? I mean, you would have thought with the amount of engineers and staff that they would have to do this kind of thing, they would have been able to do this shortly after they bought it, surely.
I can answer that one unless Ewan's got an opinion.
Well, my opinion was going to be that they probably didn't want to cannibalize things like Teams. So, you know, if you wanted to get a video conference, then that's what you should use. But yeah. I think nobody saw the pandemic coming, and it's just that Zoom, who were, you know, relatively small and relatively obscure, were the ones who were there in place and benefited. And the problem Microsoft now have is kind of making up that lost ground.
I'm wondering whether they wanted to, because you're right. They had all the technology. They could rebuild him. Sorry, wrong show. No, they had everything in place. They didn't roll it out. And I suppose the question is, it wasn't ready. They didn't want to rush it, because you rush it to market and it fails. It fails permanently. They had Skype and they had Microsoft Teams, and they didn't see Zoom coming. And by the time Zoom took over the business meeting market, it was then too late to rush out a second-rate product. Teams still has its place, because you have to remember that local education authorities, places where there are very, very strict rules on communications, will use Teams because it's secure. In terms of usability, it's inferior, but in terms of security, Zoom can't go anywhere near it. Zoom got the bad press about people gate crashing random meetings because they could, and broadcasting all kinds of rubbish. You know, yeah. I actually, with Lions Club, chaired, was set up digital conferences. And one of our biggest bugbears was you'd always get somebody that's had Zoom training, but thought they could have little private conversations and share their screen with somebody. And what they're actually doing was sharing their screen with the entire conference, because they'd hijacked it. And of course, you had to go back into the settings and keep shutting them out. You almost needed little watchers on the gates. So Zoom became very easy to use very quickly, took the market over. But Zoom doesn't have a database like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn is now trying to be more like Facebook Messenger. It's tried being like Facebook on LinkedIn, but, you know, a lot of people don't like Facebooky type posts on LinkedIn because it's not social media, it's a network. LinkedIn doing video conferencing, along with having all your contacts and connections, means it's very easy to sort of just find somebody and then video message them, video call them. Whereas with Zoom, you can't do that. You've got to find them on another platform and then send them a connection and then get the meeting in place. So I can imagine that LinkedIn will be used a lot by those kind of people that want to connect and then immediately send you a message plugging what they do. Now suddenly they'll be connecting and wanting a video call where they can go, hey, now I've got your attention, buy my stuff.
Yeah.
There is that danger, and the idea horrifies me, but then again, they're not going to get anywhere if they try it. So.
Yeah, but the idea of tech horrifies you, Ewan.
There is that. I don't know why people can't just send a letter like they did in the old days.
There's not enough pigeons left anymore.
There isn't enough paper in the world to create the stamps.
Yeah. So, but yeah, people have always found ways to either use or abuse the technology that gets brought out to market, but it tends to level out fairly quickly. I mean, those drive-by, like hit-and-run posts, the buy-my-stuff ones, don't work. You know, people tend to try them, thinking maybe they'll crack the code this time, and then either lose their audience or lose their job, whichever comes first. But it doesn't work. It's the cycle just starts. You get some people that try it on, realize, move on to something else.
And a while back, you mentioned about not wanting to cannibalize their other services. I thought one of the other stats that I found mentioned that the native video conferencing is powered by Azure Communication Services, which is built on the same technology that powers Microsoft Teams. So they've clearly built it on the Teams infrastructure. But obviously, you would be able to do a lot more in Teams directly than you would on LinkedIn video calling. So in my mind, granted, I'm not a tech company CEO, so I don't understand these things. But in my naivety, my thoughts are they could have done this a long time ago. They could have created this cut-down version of video conferencing, video calling, have it as an option within LinkedIn, but for everything else that it can't handle, it'll then encourage people to go off to Teams or Skype or something else.
Yes, see, Azure's the technology behind a lot of the remote desktop connections as well. So the idea is that you can dial into your remote desktop from any device. You can dial into your meetings from anywhere. So, yeah, it's all interconnected. And that's probably the long-term goal, is that if all your resources are accessible through one format, that's the one you'll go with, rather than having your meetings on Zoom and, you know, using SharePoint for files and other bits and things, Google Docs for other stuff. The idea is they want to create this eco center where everything just works off the one platform.
which gives the platform a horrendous amount of power.
Yeah.
I always remember reading about the American mathematician who had all his documents on Google Docs and on his Google Drive, and they shut him down. There was no reason for them to have done so, but suddenly he's totally stymied.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to put everything on one platform, then for heaven's sake, build in some redundancy and have backups and you know, alternative ways of accessing what you need.
Yeah.
And talking of Google, it's not like there weren't some flags years ago to say that video is going to be, you know, pandemic aside, video is going to be important for everybody in the future, because Google Meet, is it Google Meet, Meetup, Google Meet, Google Meets?
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever used it, but I know the one.
And that's all part of Google Workspace, the sort of G Suite. So clearly, and the FaceTime's obviously been around for a long time now on the iPhone. It isn't like this whole video thing is anything brand new. I am just really surprised that LinkedIn have left it this long to get involved. You know, they've come late to the party. Everyone's starting to clear up. Everyone's either asleep on the stairs or being kicked out. It's like, well, yeah, welcome, but you're going to have to pull something out of the bag now to make it special, given, you know, their audience, captive audience aside, because people are now so used to things like Zoom, they're going to have to really do something special. You know,
when did Apple enter the mobile phone market?
2007.
And what were mobile phones like before then?
Awful.
So they brought their product in late to market and then dominated a fair chunk of it.
Don't come at me with your logic.
I think there is a logic behind their plan. Microsoft in particular have had some real misfires with things like Windows Mobile and Windows Phone,
yeah,
where they had an opportunity to really dominate the market. I think this time they're being a little, I think they've learned their lessons possibly, and they're being a little smarter about how they do it.
The other thing is that they have to get it right. They have to roll it across an awful lot of users,
yeah,
and make it work. And that's, you know, that's not something you do in that little shed in the corner and just kind of try it out.
The reason I say that they're going to have to pull something out the bag, because one of the other things we found is several features planned for future updates include a calendar integration so that a scheduled meeting sends an email with a ICS to both parties, allowing for messaging chat while you're in a video conversation, and screen sharing and virtual backgrounds. It's like, well, great. But again, that's not anything groundbreaking. That's stuff that's already accessible for everybody else with Zoom and everything else. Nothing about that screams, oh, well, this is different. This is innovative now. They're just catching up.
But they're separate. You see, one of the problems, which is why you could imagine if you'd still got a Microsoft phone, but it's more likely something more like a tablet device, a portable Microsoft device. At the moment, if I FaceTimed you via an iPhone and then I needed to share a document, I'd either have to use the phone and, you know, camera goes everywhere, and find a way to either send the email or upload it via Google Docs or whatever. And it's basically that level of complexity and faff. I think their long-term vision is you will be able to have a LinkedIn meeting underpinned by the same technology behind Teams. So it will be secure. It will be from a LinkedIn contact. So it will be trusted. And you may want to send them a file or a calendar invite for a meeting or all that other stuff, and it will be instantly accessible and shareable. Because yes, you can WhatsApp files to somebody and message, and you can create all those groups, because that's another one, or you could do these things via Messenger. But then, as an employee of a business, and quite a large business, you will have protocols and rules about formats that you can share information on and what can be shared. And again, companies will say, well, we only want you doing video conferencing via Teams or by extension LinkedIn because it's got the the seal of approval, and stop using WhatsApp and stop using Facebook Messenger and stop using Zoom. And they will basically choke off the market share for these other people because they can't do everything. They can all individually do the same things that these updates will do, but they can't do everything. That's what their plan is, to be everything to everyone at all times. Why go somewhere else?
Yeah. And it's useful to note that apparently, although it's one-to-one meetings for the time being, apparently the option for having group chats is seemingly on the roadmap as well. So
yeah, they just plug it into Teams and it will grow from there.
Yeah.
You know, WhatsApp messaging is still one-to-one. I've got WhatsApp web on my desktop at the moment, which means I can video call people through WhatsApp using my desktop.
Yeah.
Which is great, but I can't do groups, just individuals.
Yeah. Yeah.
LinkedIn eventually will stretch to cover all of that. So you'll end up with, you can always message a group on LinkedIn. You can do it on WhatsApp or Facebook as well. But eventually you'll have the point where BNI groups, for example, networking groups, will have their meetings via the LinkedIn video app rather than Zoom, because they're all interconnected. They've got the messages and they can, use the shared contacts, which at the moment Zoom is very standalone, and that will be its downfall. It's not linked to anyone's contact list or database.
Yes, true. I do sound like I'm on a bit of a downer on LinkedIn. I do find LinkedIn very, very useful, and they do have a lot of positive features. Sometimes I just don't understand them. I don't understand where they're coming from.
Neither do they, to be fair.
Well, yeah, this is the problem. Because, again, a while back, they announced they're bringing in stories. It's like, oh, for God's sake. So they just want to become like every other social platform in the world. Everything has to copy something. Instagram had it. Then Facebook obviously owned Instagram. Facebook had them. Then Twitter brought out fleets, which are stories, which I don't think I've even ever really looked at a fleet. Everything suddenly wants stories. It's like stories are great on certain apps. They work well. But it doesn't mean everything has to have them. And now they're killing stories and they're integrating it into a whole new to be announced set of video tools for short form video. And it's like, concentrate on the important stuff, please.
Yeah. But I don't understand. I can see for social media why the entry that stays around for only 24 hours or whatever it is attractive. But for LinkedIn?
Yeah.
For business networking?
I think all it did was encourage the people that suddenly decide they want to impart some massively important wisdom from a car park in Wigan. And they post that as a story.
Well, go back to technology that Ewan will understand. But look, there was a time when every business had to have a phone line, because that's how your businesses reached you. That's how your customers reached you. That's why you were in the Yellow Pages or the phone book. Then with mobile phones, landlines are no longer important. There was this little transitional period where you didn't really trust a company that was just mobile. You wanted the security of a landline. There was a physical phone in an office. So if something went wrong, I could go there. Now, mobile phones, you don't care if it's a mobile or a landline. Half the time, they both connect through to the same device by call divert anyway. You've got businesses that had to have a web page because every business needs a web page. That's how your customers find you. Now, there's a lot of businesses that don't have a web page. They have a page on social media. If they do have a web page at all, it's a holding page. And even that is more kind of, you're losing those now. Things do progress. So, when we're saying, why do they have them? But, LinkedIn didn't know what it wanted to be. It was originally a recruitment website. And then it saw lots of people creating connections and it became a social network, not social media, social network. You talk to people. You don't broadcast at them. He ironically says through a podcast where he's broadcasting at people. But then it saw other sites innovating and thought, I'll have a pop at that. And not all of it works. Nobody cared about stories on LinkedIn. And, you know, there's a huge backlash when people post motivational fluff because, you know, my personal opinion is unless your post is useful to somebody, and by useful, I mean they get business out of it or they get to do business with you because of it, it's irrelevant. Giving someone a little lift by having that meme where it goes, hey, you, yeah, you're great. Yeah. Yeah, I'm great, just like everybody else that looked at this. LinkedIn has to figure out.
They're not talking to me?
They mean it when they say it to you, though, Richard. That's the difference.
Oh, phew.
They're called Barnum statements. They're just things that go out, and some people share them well-intentioned, thinking they're giving everyone else a little lift. Some people post it because they just hate the idea of not being seen on LinkedIn that day. You know, everyone's got their own motivations. But LinkedIn knows that by creating and maintaining a connected business network, people will keep coming back and they'll keep spending time on it. What was the average you were saying, Ewan, that people spend?
17 minutes per month.
Per month. So somebody is getting your share, for definite. But yeah, there are people that will spend all day on it. And there are people that will look in the morning and spend under a minute going, no, that's rubbish, that's rubbish, that's rubbish, that's rubbish. Oh, I'm great. Yeah. Click, buy. And they'll just move on. So that average is spread out from really heavy users to people that have a LinkedIn profile only because they were told to get a LinkedIn profile and have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah. But the other thing is that the real movers and shakers, the ones that maybe you really want to talk to, are the ones who just spend a few minutes a day on it. They're not going to be spending all day. They have better things to do.
It's about being effective rather than, you know, activity and productivity are two different things.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, same as me. I only started using LinkedIn, you know, more properly in inverted commas, when you told me more about what it can do, Jace. And before that, for you, I'd been on it since, oh, I can't remember offhand, but something mad like 2006 or something around that, or maybe a bit before.
And I only probably treated it like MySpace or Facebook.
Exactly. I treated it as a CV hosting kind of thing, in essence, which I think is what a lot of people really considered it for many years. But then once you sort of told me more about the groups, well, groups aren't as much of a thing now, but the news feed and posting and all that kind of thing now, it suddenly became far more useful to me. And then I started using it more.
You became more useful on LinkedIn. And that's the whole mantra. But you do, because your posts have purpose. You're either solving somebody's problem by recommending something or someone that they can then connect to, and the person or service they connect to then gets business. So both of them are winning from your post. It's useful. Other people see you do it and they like you and they want to do favors for you. So you'll get in, do favors in return. So it grows your, you know, what they call it, your social selling quota, index, clout, whatever it is. I mean, I'm not interested in the jargon. It's the results. But the more useful your posts are, the more effective you are, the more people want to do business with you, in order for them to be able to do business with people in your peer group. And once you get that, LinkedIn, you can do a phenomenal amount of business on. If you're just clamoring for attention or using it to try and sell to your peers who aren't necessarily your customers, they're the people that get you your customers, you're always going to fail. That will happen with video. When you have people desperately trying to video call someone in order to show them a promotional video that they've put rather than just post it on their page and, you know, give people the choice, they're going to lose connections in droves, because nobody wants to be placed in that forced scenario. So it's going to have to be used well by people, but the ones that do use it well will make a lot out of it. if LinkedIn do it right, we're assuming they're going down this route. I mean, they could also horrendously mess it up.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't be without form, but I shall remain optimistic.
You always do.
It's just in my nature.
It's one of the things we like about you, Richard.
Yes, the rest
of me
is just...
Okay, the only thing we like about
you. Yes. Yeah, and at least there is something now, so...
The rest of me is cold and dead inside. But as far as LinkedIn goes, I have optimism. I think hopefully, all being well, you know, you'd like to think that a massive international conglomerate would know what they're doing. But, I remain optimistic. I hope that these tools are going to be useful. They've obviously got the captive audience who are ready and willing to use it. Whether it's going to affect Zoom after their massive spike in user base at the beginning of last year, for obvious reasons. Will it be too little too late for LinkedIn? Probably not, given their customer base. But let's hope they do something new and innovative with it that we haven't seen before. Who knows? Time will tell.
Indeed.
Well, that pretty much wraps up episode 52. We will look at LinkedIn with great interest to see how things are going to go and if it requires a follow-up later on. If something goes either hilariously wrong or brilliantly right, then we will, of course, cover it. But for the time being, thank you for listening, and we shall catch you next time.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audioshed Podcast Studio. Follow us on Twitter, at Brumpod. You can follow and subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.